A lot to do. Your parents have gone back, Simcha? Send regards. Okay. Today is Sunday the 14th, and let me tell you, October 14th, 2012. I have it right? Okay. And I want to say hello to all my students in front of me and to all those across the world. I want you to know that I'm humbled. I'm talking to those that send emails and met me at the Kotel. I'm humbled by the kind words you say about my Shiurim. Let me leave it at that. Someone came to see me this morning and he said to me, if he would have had a Rebbe like me in the 1960s, his whole life would have been different. So I told him that I have a good friend who's the Aramean, Steve Gross, my Talmud. So Steve tells me in the 60s in YU, the students were maledicting all their Rebbeim except one Rebbe. Everyone admitted he's a decent human being. So, Baruch Hashem. Okay, I want to comment. Before I begin, I have so many questions that I was asked. So today I'll speak a minute in Halacha, tomorrow a minute in Machshava. I don't know if you're aware, it made the New York Times, but at the little Beis HaMikdash in Borough Park, Bavav, the big Beis HaMikdash is here in Israel, that's Bells. I don't know, I trust you have visited Bells, and I trust you have visited Bavav. So you'll all agree with me, one is the big Beis HaMikdash, one is the little one. At the little Beis HaMikdash in Borough Park, they set up I don't know what they call it, a mini little hospital, and on Yom Kippur, anyone who had to eat could come and get an infusion. There were nurses on duty to give infusion. And this made the New York Times. Okay? I want to tell you, it is totally, completely, absolutely an abrogation and nullification of Devar Hashem Zu Halacha. Worse than that, it turns Yiddishkeit into a mockery. If someone has to eat on Yom Kippur, there's a whole deal among the Achronim whether you say Yalla V'Yavol. Right or wrong. I believe we do say Yalla V'Yavol B'Yom HaKippurim Hazeh. Torah was given to Basar V'Dam, it's not given to Malachim. Now, there's a whole tshuva of Reb Moshe, which the New York Times quotes, I have to give them credit, against this, and for a very simple reason. You're getting involved with Yisroel D'Oraita, you make a Chabbalah on Yom Tov to make a hole for the infusion. I only can say to you, Baruch Hashem, this will not be copied in Israel, for one simple reason. In New York, you have nurses who are not Jewish. In Israel, Baruch Hashem, the nurses are Jewish. If you allow something like this, you are having the nurses do an Issa D'Oraita. And I have to tell you that perhaps Rabban Soloveitchik is at fault. I'll tell you a conversation. Rabban, when he was very ill and he was told he has to eat in Yom Kippur, so he started this mishigas of having a goyish nurse infuse him on Yom Kippur. So his Talmud Mufak, my dear friend, who was one of a kind. You know, most people when they die, they say, oh, he was a great guy. Half the time he was a Rosh Marusha, but acharei mois kadoshim, you all know that aphorism. David was bigger in life than in death. My dear friend, Rabbi Dr. David Applebaum, his picture hangs in my office. He was Reb Aaron's top student. So he said to Reb Aaron, David told me this, he said, Rebbe, what you're doing goes against everything you have taught us. And Reb Aaron answers him as only Reb Aaron could. Yeah, I don't know Reb Aaron. I knew Reb Aaron very well. He says, what can I do, David? It's Yom Kippur. No, I don't accept that answer. So I want to go on record. But, you know, I find this is part of the trend in America. Baruch Hashem, in Israel we have problems. The atom bomb is going to be dropped. The army, the maslat, what's that in English? I don't even know. The drone traveled for 3 hours in Israel before it was shot down. We're having elections. Everyone is cursing the other one, maledicting the other one. So here, Baruch Hashem, we don't look for chumras. But in the United States, they have a good life. They have developed a religion that has no bearing to Yiddishkeit. They stopped eating this vegetable, that vegetable. Ribbono Shel Olam, you know how that's going to affect us? These are the most healthy vegetables and fruits. There's a way to clean, but you don't put it under a microscope. It's a tshuva from the Avnei Nesa. It's beyond words. And it seems to me that this is just taking it a little bit further. How to avoid eating on Yom Kippur if the doctor tells you you must eat. So I want to go on record that I am opposed. Not that it helps. I mean, when it comes to mitzitza b'peh, two children died. There's absolute proof. No, what are we fighting the city? What mitzitza b'peh? Are we frumer than the Chatam Sofer? Are we frumer than Reb Chaim Brisker? Are we frumer than Reb Yosef Sholem Eliashiv? Read his tshuva against mitzitza b'peh. Your hands will fall off. But it seems this is a certain attitude, which I don't understand, but okay. So, min zayin gesund, I have to teach Torah and live Torah, and I have to look my rebbeim, I see the Rav standing in front of me at that many moments in my life, I have to look the Rav in his eyes, I have to look at Rabbi Cutler in his eyes, I have to look at Rav Moshe Feinstein in his eyes, Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. All right, may him keep out the etta Torah. I hope they'll hug me and not smack my face. Okay, now down to work. I've had the question, and I have printouts here if you want to see the New York Times article and give it out later. We're going to have a very fascinating shiur today. There's no question, twice in the Yerushalmi, I gave you the sources. You want to turn on, leave it at 22. Twice in the Yerushalmi, the Gemara says, Minhag Mevatel Halacha, Minhag. Now, we're not talking in Hagim. They're in Hagim, you know, to go and daven, you know, you say this Yitzroit, you say that Yitzroit, you say this capital, you know, you come to my shul, we don't say V'shamru b'nei Yisrael, v'adabah, minhag agra, right, minhag agra. I still, by the way, I want you to know, if anyone can solve my problem with the Simchas Torah night, I'll appreciate it. Because in Yerushalayim, most Litvish shuls do not lay in, or all of them don't lay in Simchas Torah night. And I was always told, Minhag Agra. I look in, and believe me, I understand, you're not allowed to lay in Simchas Torah night. It's Brachas Levatala. It's every sin in the world. But all right, Minhag Yisrael. I have a lot to say in it. It's not for now. I've researched the topic thoroughly. But I looked into the Masa Agra. I have to... Yitzchak... Thank you for your kind phone call. I appreciate it. I never got a chance to call you back. Thank you for your good words. But I have to teach you. I'm going to do something tonight that will make you dance on the ceiling. But give me a chance. Okay? Now, so I see in my Sagra, in my Sarav, that the Gaon lay in that night. He had three aliyah that night. So what is really the Gaon's minhag? If anyone can solve that for me, let me know. Okay, but I don't know. You tell me. Adarabba, you grew up in Boston. You daven there Simchas Torah night.
No, I daven in the Boston Rebbe.
You have to clap. Okay, you see that? He went to the Boston Rebbe instead of davening with the Rav. I don't know what the Rav did. Ask someone from Boston. Ask one of your friends. Let's look into Gopin's book. Remind me. We'll look into Gopin's book. Let's see what Gopin says. But I'm throwing out, say the minhag, you say this kapitel, you don't say that kapitel, it's minhag. But minhag, mavatel halacha, and the Yerushalmi, you have one example with dinim among it. Right or wrong, where you hire someone and you say, you have to work from sunrise to sunset. And the guy, a month later, asks for his pay, and you say, well, I'm deducting 3 hours a day because you started at 8 o'clock and you finished at 5 o'clock. He says, this is minhag makom. And here, he made a deal with you. But minhag mevatel halacha. And it's an open gemara. Then, what type of shoe do you use for v'shalafet nalo? The woman has to take off the man's shoe. The man has to take off na'alat. The man has to take off the woman's shoe, the Avramish shoe. What type of shoe do you use? And even if Eliyahu Nabi will come and tell you, this is not a shoe, if this is considered a shoe by Jews, minig mavatal halacha. So we asked, what's going on here? Not only that, I quoted to you a Gemara dealing with Rosh Chodesh Le'ilana, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where people have a minhag that even though this particular fruit blossomed before Tu B'Shvat, you still treat it as next year's fruit for Dinei Maisrat and Shumat. So the Gemara screams, how can you do this? B'makim Dura, ki nahagu shafkin lei. The Gemara I quoted in Rosh Hashanah, daf tetvavam in bed, that a minah kanakat halacha. So I put down a basic yesod last time we met, and this yesod will carry you through your entire life of learning. If you understand this, you understand Chayshin Mishpat, and you understand so many sugyas and shas. When it comes to Dini Mormonot, the Torah is more guidance than definitive law. And I showed you many Gemaras that when it comes to Dini Mamonet, it's not, you can make your own Tanayim, and it's not Matneh Alma Shekatuv B'Torah. And of course, the classic example I gave you, and it's a Gemara that repeats itself a number of times in Shas, that on marriage, Sheirach, Sutah, V'Onatah, there are three obligations to marriage. The simple pshat, again, it's a machlokes rishonim what the pshat is in this pasuk. But taking the simple pshat, Rashi's pshat, you owe your wife clothes, food, and a proper sex life. Okay? By the way, that should be stressed today. In our world, no one is suddenly sex, and it becomes a taboo, and we have every type of sexual illness as a result. God have mercy on us. Torah enabled man to have a lecture on this. I gave all the sources. Sex is not only for procreation. We are obligated to our wives. Okay, why isn't the wife obligated to the man? I spoke about that. It's not for now. Baruch Hashem. No sex. A man is going to make a condition. When it comes to sex, an open marriage. I want to use New York Times English. God have mercy on us. An open marriage. No? Matna Masha Katav B'Torah. Harayat Mekudeshetli. The woman is now only permitted to her husband, forbidden to the whole world. How can you have an open marriage? That type of tanai, you take the guy, you beat the hell out of him, you lock him up, you give him a movie of Dalet Mitat Beitin, show him what's going to happen to him if he isn't Chozer B'Tshuva. Comes to Shevik Sut, clothes and food, the monetary obligation. The woman says, and I've had this right in the Kollel, I'm not pulling games with you. I'm embarrassed. I don't want a ketuvah. I have a PhD in Russian literature. I can get a position at any university in the state of Israel teaching Russian literature. I don't need my husband to support me. Forget about it. I'll give him a ketuvah. No, have you had that or not? Any of you have been Masada Kedushin where the woman insists on giving the man afterwards? God have mercy. Right here from the Yitzchak, you had it, I had it. Believe me. Right from the Kollel. You think you guys are unaffected by what's going on in the world? It's frightening to me. The worlds that you have to struggle with. All right, I had a struggle too, but we had different problems. Da-dar v'dashav, da-dar v'chachamav. And I'll paraphrase the Gemara in Sanhedrin. What is it? Daf Lamed Chet in Sanhedrin. Da-da v'bayotav. It's problems. It's challenges. So the woman says, the man says, honey, haret mukadeshetli, I don't have to spend a penny on you. I'm not responsible, not for clothes, not for food. Perfect. Wonderful. Good. It is not Matneh Masha Katav B'Torah. Could you imagine what we're talking about? This is unbelievable. But that's the Torah. And I showed you, right down it follows all Dinei Mamonet. All the way through, I looked into the Schopenstein Gemara where it deals with Simtuta. Remember the Gemara about Metzia? What does Simtuta mean? You mark the barrels. No, what do you mean? I bought barrels of wine. I didn't do Meshicha. I didn't do Chazaka. I might not have even given Kesev. But the minig amakam is, you mark Aaron on the barrel. You mark Aaron on the barrel, that barrel now belongs to me. That's Minhag HaMakom. Barrels were ruined. It's my loss. Even though they're in the warehouse of the seller. And it comes all the way down. What I checked with Schottenstein, I wanted to see whether they quoted the case out of the Diamond District. And they did not. It would be worthwhile, if there's a lawyer here, check out the exact details of the case. Because this, when you have to give a popular lecture, when you're speaking in your shuls, you begin by telling them a case like this, you've caught the attention of the audience. You follow? We have a lawyer here, all right? We have a lawyer. Got to check it out. Here's the challenge. Big fight on 40, where's the Diamond District? The 47th Street, right, further up. 47th, 48th, that tremendous square block. Billions of dollars change hands every day on that block. And the deal, the rule of the thumb is, when they shake hands and they say, Mazel u Bracha, that completes the deal. And some Hasidic Jew made a deal with an Afro-American. The Afro-American shook his hand and said, Mazel u Bracha. And a week later, the Hasidic Jew changed his mind. He got a higher price from someone else. No, the Afro-American went to court, sued the Hasidic Jew, and the Jewish judge ruled in his favor that this is Minhag HaMakom, and that's Dinei Mamonot. All right, so with Dinei Mamonot, we can understand that Minhag Mevatel Halacha. All right, you'll ask a question. A lot of people have a lot of difficulty with this because they view the Torah, you know, if the Torah said that a man is obligated, shek, sut viona, how can he get away and not pay the woman for food, not pay the woman for clothes? All right, the Torah is giving guidance. How come the Minhag HaMakom be mevatel what the Torah says? No, you have a wonderful question, and that's exactly what the Gemara asked, and the Gemara answers that B'dinei Mamonot, the Tanai is Kayam. B'dinei Issa Vacheta, the Tanai is Batel. So when it comes to Dinei Mamonot, it is guidance. And I can give endless examples, it's not for now, but the whole concept of Dinei D'Malchuta Dina. In Dinei Issa Vacheta, the law of the land is law, plays no role. In the law of the land of in Issa Vacheta plays no role. In Dinei Mamonot, the law of the land is law, conquers all. And that's the classic example. Why did God give these laws? All right, it's guidance to instill within us a certain concept of justice, of equality. But in every civilization, you can adjust the tradition in accordance with the surroundings, the norm of the surroundings. I don't want to go into more detail. I'll just give you one example. Of course, it has to be equitable. And that's the famous story the Rav told us time and again. And there is printed material on this. When the communists took over, they nationalized all possessions. How many of you have visited Russia? I've been in the Hermitage 3 times with my wife. Believe me, we were not visiting. We were nervous wrecks, but we were, you know, you got to do touristy things. And my wife is an artist. The chance to see the Hermitage, 81, 85, 89. We won't go back now. Now you walk and go back. It's no big deal. But, you know, when we were there, it was a different story. Study Washington. You can't even go to the Hermitage. 90% of those paintings were robbed. You follow me? Tchaikovsky, 90%. Nationalized. Taken. Who are you? You wealthy no-goodnik. You made a fortune off the masses, the labor of the masses. You bought these beautiful Rembrandts. They belong to the state. You know what's going on with the Lubavitch Library now? The Sixth Rebbe's library. The state refuses to let it go. How dare you? So they asked Reb Moshe, the state took over from this wealthy Jew. He manufactured carriages that were drawn by horses. And now the state was selling it dirt cheap. Can you buy it? Dinah de Malchut de Dinah. And Reb Moshe answered, Dinah de Malchut de Dinah, but not Chamsana de Malchut. Not when it's Hamas. That's when it's robbery, thievery. You cannot buy it. So, all right, Dinah de Malchut de Dinah is a basic law, but it has to be equitable. There are all types of klal. I lectured on it for over a year. I gave shiurim. It has to be equitable. It has to be justice. It has to be law for all. Then you have to follow the Dinah de Malchut. Okay. Isa v'heta, how can the Yerushalmi say minhag mevatel halacha? So I want to give one basic explanation. It's an explanation which may be the most correct one. I'm going to show you endless sources over the next few weeks from Kol HaTorah Kula backing me up. And it simply means minhag mevatel halacha when it comes to Isa v'heta, it means when you're in doubt, when you don't know what the halacha is. When you're in doubt, then you follow the prevalent minhag. The Jewish people know what they are doing. There is an inherent sense of knowledge, wisdom, sanctity in the Jewish people. The Kutzke Rebbe used to say, there's a, again, you guys don't know Yiddish, I'm lost. What is your first name? One second. Your maiden name?
Fabian.
So you know I know your family, right? That's unbelievable. So I want to, do you know any Yiddish? I'm lost. You're a survivor from the camps, that you know Yiddish. That's not a big deal. That I know Yiddish is a big deal. That Yaakov knows Yiddish, you guys, you survived. I had to survive as a student, so I had to learn Yiddish. That in Yiddish, as Stamayid. So the Kutzke Rebbe, what does it mean, Stamayid? I don't know how to translate it. Not trust. That's Stam. He's a simple Jew. So the Kutzke Rebbe, your trust is not the same. A simple Jew. Trust is less. I understand. Stam is right. Trust is putting him down. A Stamayid. So the Kutzke Rebbe used to say, even a simple Jew, Vas meinta Stam, Svarim Tfilin Mezuzot. That Stamayid, he's filled with a Sefer Torah. Exactly. He's filled with Sefer Torah. He's filled with Tfilin. He's filled with Mezuzot. He's filled with mitzvot, and if he does something, he's doing it right. And I showed you, and it's a very interesting concept. We're going to deal with it in great length, and I reach a crescendo at the very end. I'm going to slam a grand slam home run, which the Yanks will never see again after last night. My compliments to Yaakov from Detroit. I tip my Yankee hat in your honor. Please, Jeter is gone. Forget it now. Don't bore Yitzchak. He doesn't know what Ted, he doesn't know that Ted Williams is no longer alive. Relax. So where do you see this concept? So I ended off the share last week, and I'm picking up now. I ended off the share last week with Yerushalmi and Yevamot, Perik Zion Halacha Gimel. And I'll read the Rambam to you. The Yerushalmi, a very interesting question. All of you know when a Bat Yisrael marries a Kohen, so she and her children can eat Truma. What about if the Kohen died and she's pregnant? And here's a very interesting question. She is pregnant and she has Avodim, who were yet the slaves of Avonim Ketanim, who were yet the slaves of her late husband. And she's pregnant. And these children are the descendants of the Kohen. Do they empower the Avonim that they can still continued to eat truma while she's pregnant, before she gave birth. And the Gemara doesn't know what to do. The Gemara is in doubt.
The kids are not born yet.
No, I explained to you the halakha. If they would have had kids, there's no shaila. But here the kids are not born. And no one, the Gemara, I read it to you last week, they are in doubt. So the Gemara winds up saying, Ela kol halakha shahid ofefet bebeitin, v'ein at yodeya mativa, tseyurei, eich hatzibur no. Hey, when you don't know what to do, you're in doubt, see what the people do. Vanan chamei tzibura the lo michlin. They don't eat. And look into the Rambam, and this is new material, Hilchat Truma, Perik Chet, Perik Shmini, Halacha Dalet. The Rambam says it so clearly. You know, the Rambam is not only a posek, but many times, the Rav taught us this, and many times in Shir, he utilized this technique. The Rambam is also a Mefarish. If you understand the Rambam, he is telling you how to learn the Gemara as well. And he says it so clearly. Bat Yisrael shenasat, shenisat lekohen, umet, vehinicham uberet, lo yochlu avadeh betruma beshvil ha'uba. The Avadim don't eat, even though she's pregnant. Why? Shahayilud hu shemachel. For she'ena yilud, ena machel. A person has to be alive to feed the children. If the children, to feed the Avadim. If the children, one second. Exactly. If the children are not alive, the Avadim can't eat. Even though, logically speaking, she's pregnant, she's going to have children, she's going to continue the Kohen's family. Logic, yes. But it's not a living reality. And this is the Gemara. We didn't know for sure how to paskin. And the Yerushalmi says so beautifully, Rofefet, when you're in doubt, see the way people act.
Yeah, but now we have to say,
well, let me go just one step further.
We're going to
talk about that in great depth. We're talking. Excuse me.
But
there's nothing. The Rabbanim are in doubt. The Yerushalmi has a whole machloket. The Rabbanim are in doubt, and this klal transfers over to the Bavli in slightly different language. And if you recall, we ended off the final shiur before Yom Kippur. It's a very important Gemara. It's also Issa v'Heta, the Gemara in Bracha Daf Manchei Amid Aleph. And water. Water is so important. Without water, we cannot live. What bracha do you make over water? And you've all learned there was a machlekes in Masechet Bracha. Do you say Baruch Nefashit before you drink or after you drink? Water is more important than bread. Water is more important than meat. Water is more important than ice cream. With all those luxuries, we can if we don't have it, we can survive. But without water, we are finished. And the Yerushalmi says, the Bavli says, excuse me, Hilchatamai. No one knew what the paskin. Finally, the rabbis didn't know. You follow me, Herb? The rabbis didn't know. Omalei, fuk chazi ama davar. It appears four times in Shas, an unbelievable statement. Go out and see what the people are doing. And that's it. Well, yeah, you're very smart, because for 2,000 years now, the minhag is shahakal before and boring the fashad afterwards. Now, obviously, what Rabbi Rubin said is absolutely correct, and I'll come back to it in great detail, but not yet. I'm going to show you something very fascinating, but we have to get there. What Rabbi Rubin said is correct. Fukhazi. Look, I was in the rabbinate in the United States, and I was on the battle line. I was the first rabbi of the first Orthodox shul in suburban Essex County. Now, no one in this room believes me, because today, all of Essex County is filled with shuls. But thank God, Herbie Maltz is sitting here, and he knows me from 1962 on, when I arrived in Maplewood, New Jersey, adjacent to Newark, and he will testify. And even if he testifies, I have a second witness in my children's building in Hanof. A family moved in, retired from America, and the man, it must be in his 60s, says to me, must be hitting 70 already, I'm a 1959 graduate of Columbia High School. I look at him. He says, 1 minute away from Parker and Prospect, where your shul is going to be. We began in 62. And boy, I have living testimony about Shiva. Of course, no one was in Columbia High School in that period who knew one word about Shabbos. And I couldn't believe it. I now have two people that I can bring to class to testify that Rakepit is not putting you on, that Washington tells the truth. Baruch Hashem. Okay. You're going to put things to a vote. Come on, gentlemen. The average Jew, I don't care where, in America, in France, in London. La Briot, imagine in London. You're going to ask the average Jew, Shabbos, make Kiddush and do whatever you want. Kashrut, eat whatever you want outside the house. What can you do? You have to travel. You have to go into a restaurant. Taret mishpacha? What do we need? Taret mishpacha bizman hazeh? What, you don't have a shower in your house? You don't have a bathtub in your house? What are you talking about, mikvah? They would vote all of Yiddishkeit out of existence. All right, in Yerushalayim, Bnei Brak, Montreal, there are certain places, Gateshead, absolutely. Perhaps Manchester would have a majority. Perhaps Antwerp, maybe. Okay. There, but Fukhazi means people who care, people who concern, people who devoted, people who are dedicated. Okay? Now let me go a step further.
I have to ask. Yeah. Not only a minhag sometimes does away, the rabbanim do away with the Torah. For example, we have with the Torah that you are supposed to hold the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Along comes
Shabbos. Okay, all right, the same.
The rabbanim say you don't hold the shofar.
Right. Shem yitaltena yavirena dalarambot, that shevi altasa, that's part of the Torah Shabbal Peh, that the rabbis have this power. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But all right. But that's already not minhag. That already is a halachic option that's given to the rabbis to safeguard the core, to safeguard the essence. No, shevi al tasa, that they're allowed to be mavatul a mitzvah taseh d'oraita with a shevi al tasa. Now, how do I know that this pshat is correct? You see that the Rishonim, I'm going to give you two examples from the Rishonim. Sheilut Tetshuvot Rabbeinu Asha, the Rush. Now, you all know the Rabbeinu Asha, but by the way, just let me figure out names here. I know Yehudi Yisrael, okay, I know. Yecheskel Gorelick is sitting there. What's your name? Is your name on the list? Are you going to be in the class? Okay, so I want you to add your name. And you, is your name on here? Okay, so I'll give you the sheet in a second. Steve, okay. Yaakov, Danny, Simcha, Samuel is just amazing. It's my father-in-law, both Hebrew and English. It's a bullseye, as they say. Ephraim and Daniel. Okay, do me a favor. The fellas, the two, print your name clearly, where you grew up, and what your smicha, okay? If you're in the kollel, right? You're not the outsider sitting in. Okay, you're in the kollel. I just should know if they'll ask me if you're my student. If you, and you know you can get supplementary rabbinic credit if you need it. But I hope you're not taking the course just for supplementary rabbinic credit. You're taking it because you want to learn something different. Okay. Now, the Rush, all of you know the Rush from the back of the Gemara. Right or wrong? Everyone knows the Rush. You've learned the Rush. You've looked into the Gemara. You turn back. What you don't realize is that the Tshuvata Rush may be even more important than the, or just as important as the Rush in back of the Gemara. The Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, combined two worlds. As you know, he's Franco-Germany, later goes to Spain. He is one of the key Gedolei Yisrael in Torah Shebaal Peh.
The father of the Torah.
He's the father of the Torah, and Rabbi Yosef Karo constantly trying to base his psukim on majority opinion between the Rush, the Rif, and the Rambam. And we spoke last year, it's fascinating at times the Rush contradicts himself between the Piskei HaRush and back of the Gemara to the Shelet and Shivat HaRush. That's an interesting topic that we dealt with last year. Now, there are quite a few editions of Shivat HaRush today. In Israel, Baruch Hashem, we have Mechonim, where they work on editing Rishonim. Achronim as well, by the way. So I'm quoting from Machon Or HaMizrach. That's a subdivision of Machon Yerushalayim. And this is Shedet and Shivet, the Rush, published in 1994. You look in, I'm quoting from Klal Chamishim V'Chamesh. In this edition, I'm quoting on page Reishmem, 240. And he's getting involved exactly with this question. What about that you have a doubt? Shahalacha rofefet. Exactly the question we're asking. And he says, look, when it comes to Dini Mamana, we can understand that Minhag HaMakom is Koveya. Quotes the Gemara in Baba Batra, right at the start of Baba Batra, Daf Chet Amid Bet, that a Beit Din is allowed to make whatever monetary takonet they want. And they can beat the hell out of you if you don't listen. And you know, there, to give you a simple example, let's say the state of Israel is run by Batei Dinim. No. What do? Guy opens a falafel store. He's successful. A year later, someone comes along and opens a falafel store right next door. No, a year later, someone opens a third falafel store. So the Gemara already deals with this. Logically speaking, what's wrong? But the Beit Din can rule you have monetary rights. And if you open a falafel store, no one can open another falafel store within a block of where your store is. And the Beit Din has the right to do this, and this is Dini Mamonet, and the Beit Din can do, and they can take money away, and they can say Hefker Beit Din Hefker, which becomes a big klal in Dini Mamonet. There's no question. But in Nisa Vahetta, how can the Minhag be so important that if you don't know for sure, Halacha Rofefet, he's calling the Yerushalmi, Halacha Charecha Minhag? So he explains so beautifully that, look, if we have a Minhag, it means Gedolei Yisrael instituted this Minhag. If this is the way the Jews live, if this is the way they act, if this is what they do, it didn't happen by chance. And he says, "V'ra'iti shenoagin halacha charei haminhag, diyesh litlot shenireh legedolim shehinhigu haminhag, shehahalacha came." When you're in doubt, you can follow the minhag, because a minhag among Jews didn't develop stam. It developed because our rabbanim encouraged it, certified it, accepted it.
It's rather naive.
Well, when it comes to Simchas Torah, you have the finest example of all. Simchas Torah? How many of you lay in Simchas Torah night? Anyone here who is at a minyan that lay in Simchas Torah night?
State.
Correct. How can you lay in Simchas Torah night?
You're talking Dinei
Mamonah. I'm now talking, 1 second, Dinei Yisvechetta, Brachot Levatala.
You just meant earlier, but it has nothing to do with Dinei Mephoshes.
No, not Dinei Yisvechetta, that... I'm talking now, Yisvechetta. Dini Mamona, we don't have a problem at all. The rabbis can do whatever they want.
What
you're talking about taking a life.
Finance
is finance. Hefka bacon hefka. But I'll give you an example. The rabbi, let's take a simple example. How are you allowed to read the Torah at night? Yitzchak, you remember the Nitziv, the Tshuva of the Nitziv, Meshiv Dava, Chelek Aleph, Tshuva Yud Zayin, out of Cincinnati. Who comes from Cincinnati here? The question was asked about 135 years ago. So remember, some Jew made it big, an immigrant came to Cincinnati, an East European Jew, he made it big, he built a beautiful Aron Kodesh for the Shul. It's all there in the Tshuva. And he made it tonight, he told the rabbi, Rabbi Geshem, Avram Geshem Lessa, he told the rabbi, Rabbi, I'm giving you not in Kodesh, but a real covered. You know what Mrs. Rebel told me? That the Rebel suffered immensely, because whenever people gave money for the yeshiva, they gave it COD. You know what that means, Daniel? Covered on delivery. Heard that from Mrs. Rebel with these two ears. So he says to the rabbi, I'm giving you an Aron Kodesh. It's ready to be dedicated. Next Sunday, Ivan, a big assembly with all the men, women, and children, and you'll give me an aliyah, and I'll make the brachas, and we'll dedicate. And the poor rabbi wrote to the Nitziv, can you have a Kriyat HaTorah Sunday morning when it's not Yontif, and it's not Cholomoid, and it's not Rosh Chodesh, and it's not Hanukkah, and it's not Purim, it's not Yom HaTzmut, Purim Yom HaTzmut. Rebbe would, that's how Rebbe got hysterical when they had that Kriya, I think it was on a Wednesday, the big incident in the 1970s. Gentlemen, you cannot have a special Kriya on Yom HaTzmut yet. We yet do not have a Beit Din HaGadol. Halel is Halel, absolutely, that's the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Kuf Tet Vav. But a special Kriyat HaTorah on days that there's no laning, there's no way, in my humble opinion. But anyway, be it as it may, then it's Haftorah without Brachat, Gesundheit, read a perek from Old Chayom, Lamod, Benof, etc. Oh, beautiful Nach, but we're living it. But back here, so the poor rabbi writes to the Nitziv, it's Brachat Levatallah, Brachat Levatallah. And he says, plead with the man, mitzvah haba b'aveira. I'm quoting the Nitziv's Lashon, mitzvah haba b'aveira. No, how can you have Kriyat HaTorah, Simchas Torah night? Not only that, Simchas Torah morning. Simchas Torah morning, Moshe Spira, right? Moshe, Simchas Spira is a Hasidic name. Is that Hasidic Yichus? They were Rebbeim Spira. I knew her. Yes, of course, Spira. I had here too from London. Came in Aliyah when I did. He was a Rebbe Zazun Spira. Oh boy, what Yichus. Claim the Yichus. Let someone disprove it. Maishallah.
Yeah.
Simchas Torah, did you get an Aliyah?
Yeah.
How many people got an Aliyah?
Everyone.
No. How many Aliyah do you have on Simchas Torah? Five. Open Mishnah. Megillah. Sukkah Megillah. Wow. We had a family minyan, 6 o'clock in the morning. My grandson's. It's already a tradition. So I can't go to my. I would go with 6. I have a 6 o'clock minyan too. But grandchildren come first. 6 o'clock in the morning. We split into 3. We must have given out 40 aliyahs. What's going on here? And then you first taught in Chasen Teira, Chasen Bereshit. Wow. What's going on here? Brachas Levatala, plain and simple. Gentlemen, Minig Yisrael. Doesn't make sense halachically. Rakefet is 100% correct. He's a kalta litvak. He's a litvak. He's cold. He has no emotion. He's a noisvaf. It's scandalous. Say what you want. He's 100% correct intellectually. But this is Minig Yisrael. And if this is the minig, this is the minig that Gedolei Yisrael, even if they didn't establish it, approved it, certified it. You follow? And that's what the Rosh is saying. And he's learning pshat exactly as I learned pshat in the Yerushalmi. It's exactly that. Ein akinam minig mavatal halacha. When it comes to dini mamonet, we have no problem. When it comes to isa v'heta, we have a problem. But it doesn't mean you can just take any minig and throw it away. But when something is rofefet, you don't know how did it begin, Simchas Torah, what, when, where. But every shul in the world, every Jew is celebrating Simchas Torah. Beautiful. Beautiful. I said for my grandchildren that look at Sukkot. The holiday we celebrate for Shivan Umat. Kabbalat for the Gentiles. If you walk to the Kotel, you saw Ohavei Yisrael, Hasidei Umat Olam singing. I walked, I was moved. Yeah. We bring Kabbalat. But notice, what Haftorah do we read? Shabbos Chalamayd. Milchemet Gog Umagog. With all the Kabbalat we bring, with all the good we brought in the world, with all the Nobel Prizes we won. This last week, three Jews won. Look at the hatred. Muhammad Gog Umagog. Look at the hatred. With all the Hasidim Umat Olam, and I love them dearly. Moshe, you can't put down a Gentile who loves Israel. I don't want to get involved in the debate, Rabbi Riskin and Rabbi Shechter, but everyone tells me they're both wrong. One has gone too far, and one has gone too far this way. Experts, I have a son-in-law who's a great expert on this topic. He told me, Chaim told me. They're both wrong. Both wrong. Okay. But look what we're going through. The atom bomb, the drone, the we love every Gentile, we bring Kabbalah and we get Melchemet Gog Umagog. But you see, the Jewish people responded, yes, Esav son Eliyakov. The Medrash says, halakha, tanchuma, halakha, a law. Who ever heard of an agada being a law? But it means it can't be explained logically. It's a law. This is the way it works. So how did we respond? We survived with Simchas Torah. The Jewish people developed a holiday that is not hinted at, not mentioned, not in Torah Shebichtav, not in Torah Shebal Peh, develop Simchas Torah. All right? Isa V'heta, Brachot, Kriyat HaTorah, Kol HaNaorim. The rabbis had to have encouraged this. This didn't just develop on the streets of Brooklyn or on the streets of Antwerp. It developed within the heart of believing Jews. And this is what the Rosh is saying. Now I'll show you the Rashba. Very fascinating. Shalat Tshuva HaRashba. When we talk about the Rashba, David Schwartz, David second year smicha, Staten Island, the big young Israel. Okay, or one of the, there are other communities there too. I was one scholar in residence in a smaller community. David, do you have a desire to do something for your people, or you're just going to get smicha, you're going to become a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, or who knows what? Which is it? Smicha, okay.
Put him on the spot.
No, I don't put anyone on there. I want to give him an idea. I can't win. You see that? You're absolutely right. I have a grandson in medical school. I'm not nothing wrong, but the most I always tell my grandchildren, each one, this one is in robotic, or this one, they're all heads to graduates. Not one wants to emulate their and some of them are very good in learning and very good personality-wise, and I get the same answer. Sabu, that's what my grandchildren call me. We don't want to starve the way you did. This is the answer I get. Okay. But if you're going to go into learning, work on the Tshuva HaRashba. The Tshuva HaRashba, Dr. Agis used to tell us, Professor Agis, that he had a tradition, Yehuda, when you wanted to get smicha in Valazhin, you had to prepare 10 Tshuvot of the Rashba. And he said, people would shiver and shake. The problem with the Rashba is he wrote so many Tshuvot, he contradicts himself at times. We need someone to edit it. Maybe you can find manuscripts. But be it as it may, today we already have edited editions of the Rashba. It's not the overall look that I would like to see, but one day David Schwartz will know Shas and Paiskim backwards and forwards, and he'll be able to give us an overlook of the Tshuva HaRashba. I'm quoting from an edited edition in Eretz Yisrael, Machon Tiferet HaTorah, put out in 1990. And I'm quoting from Sheret Tshuva HaRashba, Tuf Resh Tzadi Hei, Tuf Resh Tzadi Vav, Tuf Resh Tzadi Zayin. And it's exactly the topic we are talking about. And what is the question? The community in the Middle Ages, and right down to the period of the Enlightenment, basically, the Jewish community was very powerful. It's not like today. Today, for the sake of argument, Shmuel Yosef Agnon, I trust you I'm talking about the greatest author we had in modern-day Israel, Shmuel Yosef Agnon used to say in Yerushalayim, either a Jew is machrim or muhram. And either you put people into chayrim or you're in chayrim. And he used to say, and in Yerushalayim it changes from week to week, the Jew was in Chayrim a week ago, is now putting other people into Chayrim. So I want to ask you a question. Why is the Chayrim laughable today? Did you ever go to Meir Sharim, may I quote Rakefet to you, did anyone ever walk to Meir Sharim and see nice announcements, happy announcements, all you see on the walls, this one died, that one died, a Rebbe, a Tzaddik, a Rebbetzin, and then the Haramim. This one is no good, that one is no good. So you walk by. All right, I believe it's the Satna Rebbe who said that all these Pasquailers hold up the old buildings in Meir Sharim. There's so many thousands of Pasquailers pasted on, one on top of another, Mashallah, that it holds up the buildings. You follow? So, okay. Chayrim doesn't count today. Why? You can put that Kevin into Chayrim 100 times out of the lot. Because we don't have a strong community. You don't like my community. I don't like your community. We go to a third community. The best example is Agudat Yisrael has split into 5 or 6 different organizations today. There's this newspaper, that newspaper, the Litvisha, the Hasidisha, the smaller Hasidishas, the enmity, the Litvisha world just split in half. No, when everyone is splitting, so they put you in Chayrim, so what? But in the Middle Ages, into basically almost modern times, the community had power. And when they put Spinoza into Chayrim, Spinoza was in Chayrim. So now, what if they put someone into Chayrim? So you've all learned in your...
You became famous because of that.
Well, Ben-Gurion was Matir the Chayrim, so you can debate it from today to tomorrow. But when they put someone into Chayrim, what's the halacha? You can't talk to him, you can't do... It's like Iran. You can't talk to him, you can't do business with him, you can't give him panasa, you can't give him a gift, you can't give him an aliyah l'Torah. All right. No, what about if he wandered into your shul and he has yotzeit for his elder zayda, for his great-grandfather, and he goes over to the gabbai and he says to the gabbai, I've always had an aliyah, have mercy. You give me an aliyah. Are you in chayrim? You were mavatal the chayrim. You gave him an aliyah. You did business with Iran.
What happens if you do business with Iran? What happens if you do business with the man who is Muhram? This is the question the Rashbam deals with. And he can't get an answer. And he says, I'm quoting him, Davazeh shalti mirabotai? I asked my teachers. And he says, I was very upset because logically speaking, if you break a cherem, you should be in cherem. Otherwise, what good is the cherem? You follow me? You have to put teeth into the cherem. You have to have power. You have to teach this no goodnik. You did business with Iran. We're not going to do business with you now. And he says, I saw that no one acts this way. And I was very upset. And I asked my teachers, V'lo heshivu li davar. They didn't give me an answer. Could you believe it? And he says, from this we see that my teachers felt, don't interfere with the Jewish practice. If this is the minig hamakom, they know what they're doing. It has to be based upon tradition and rabbinic authority. And he quotes the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, the very famous Gemara, that Hillel HaZaken comes, no one knows what to do if you didn't prepare the knife in the Beis HaMikdash, Pesach falling, Erev Pesach on Shabbos, you have to slaughter the Korban Pesach Saturday afternoon. How do you get the knife to the Beis HaMikdash? And he didn't have an answer. No one had an answer. And then they noticed the next day, 1 o'clock, everyone is walking to the Beis HaMikdash, they shove the knife into the hair of the Korban. And the Korban carries it, walks with it to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara and Hillel HaZaken says, Smocha b'nei Yisrael. It's a very famous rabbinic aphorism, Im lo neviyim heim, b'nei neviyim heim. And this is exactly his tshuva. When it's rofefet, you're in doubt, don't know what the halacha is. This is the minig hamakom. Smocha b'nei Yisrael. Im lo neviyim heim, b'nei neviyim heim. That's a very, very powerful Gemara. Those are the two Gemaras that if you read, I mentioned this last week, the conservative, if you want to call it response, I don't want to dignify it with that name, but there's no other name to call it. You read the response of what once was the conservative movement. Today it's already a reform movement. But if you read the response of the Jewish Law Committee of the Rabbinic Assembly out of the 50s, the 60s, you'll see they're always quoting, Fuk chazim mayamad davar. Go out and see what the people are doing. And they're always quoting, Imlona v'yimheim, but there's only one problem. You're quoting it from people who are eating fish in treif restaurants. You understand? You're quoting it from people who totally have abolished shantav sheni. I mean, who are you quoting? This is what we spoke about with Rabbi Rubin before. But this is a famous Gemara. This is a Tshuvat HaRashba. And you see the Rush, the Rashba. They are all breathing the same way. Any questions? We have arrived. A gentleman came to see me this morning, a student who's listened to almost all my 1,000 shayurim. Yeah. Not a youngster, but this seems to be a fine Jew. And I showed him what I'm lecturing today. I showed him the note I put up. He got all upset. He said, aren't you lecturing on Minhag? You know, he's not exactly too excited to hear about Professor Menachem Elon. I said, no, I put that up. That's to let people know I'm alive and kicking. but you don't have to worry, we're hitting minhag. But boy, are we hitting minhag now. Chesky, this may change your life. You're not afraid to hear what the Rebbe has to say and introduce you to? Those are payas behind your ear? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. And you're going into the American rabbinate?
I'm going to stay here.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Here you can keep the payas. I had one student with payas. I said, when you go into the rabbinate, I guarantee you the payas go off. I later was scholar in residence in the shul, and in front of 900 people, I said, ladies and gentlemen, I traveled 9,000 miles just to check if I was right or your rabbi's payas are still here. I am sorry to say that I was right. But in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. Gentlemen, watch. The Bavli and Yerushalmi, I don't have to tell you that the real Gaonim, not today, they call everyone a Gaon, but the Ragachev and the Bavli Yerushalmi by heart. These were the real Gaonim. Reb Lezer Silva, new Bavli Yerushalmi, backwards and forwards. Now it becomes a little easier to approach the Yerushalmi because there's now a new Israeli edition and Schottenstein is, I'm told, it's a very nice edition with English. So Baruch Hashem, it's opening the doors of the Yerushalmi. Generally speaking, you find similar sugyot in the Bavli Yerushalmi. You look at Yevamot Daf Kuf Bet Amid Aleph. Bavli, Yevamot 102a, as the Rav would say. Kuf Bet Amid Aleph. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav. Im Yavo Eliyahu V'yoma Chotzin B'manu Shomim Lo. Ein Chotzin B'sando? Ein Shomim Lo. Shekva Na'aga Kanahagu Ha'am Besandal. No, it's exactly like the Yerushalmi. That Elonori will come and tell you you can't use a certain type of shoe, will tell Eliyahu HaNavi, bug off, this is Minig Yisrael, this is the shoe that we use. Tell me, what's missing from the Bavli? The Yerushalmi had exactly the same thought, but it added on a few words that created pandemonia. Minhag mevatel halacha. Yerushalmi etzan, Yevamot Perek Yudbet, halach aleph. This exact thought, v'haminhag mevatel et halacha. Okay. Very fascinating. Same thought, same concept, same words, but three words I'm missing. V'haminhag mevatel halacha. And we went into orbit because many mevatel halacha, we can understand when you talk about dini mamonot, but in isa v'heta, we went into orbit. I gave a share on it last week, I gave a share on it this week. Okay. Gentlemen, Yeshivat Chevron, which is right down the street from here and has a long history in Israel, is a yeshiva that cannot boast about its greatest graduates. Just think for a minute. Who graduated Yeshivat Chevron? Who got smichin? Yeshivat Chevron, General President of the State of Israel, Chaim Halevi Herzog. No, today Yeshivat Chevron, a Tzioni, a Zionist, the general in the army. Wow. Give me a name of another graduate. Shlomo Gorenchik. Known to you as Harav Shlomo
Goren.
Graduate of Chevron. Oh my gosh. The man who pushed Rav Yoshev into the Haredi world. Rav Yoshev was part of my world, and he was convinced Goren is a reformer. Can't boast. They had another graduate who may be the greatest of all. Harav Professor Menachem Elon. fabulous Talmud Chacham, became a lawyer, a member of the Israeli Supreme Court. He wrote a monumental work which has never been equaled and never will be equaled, Hamishpat HaIvri. Make believe you're familiar with his three volumes in Hebrew. I don't know how many it is in English. I think in the later editions, not the one I have, it's two volumes in Hebrew, thousands of pages.
Four in English.
Make believe you have held these volumes in your hands so that Mashallah, the ignorant, pass for the wise. Baruch HaTodan, Melech HaLam, Shech HaMilvram. What's unique about these volumes? He takes the entire corpus of Torah Sheba Al Peh, and as a believing Jew, puts it into the framework of modern legal jurisprudence, using legal language, Roman, Latin comparisons, and takes a divine system with total emunah. There's not one syllable that you will find there that you can question. There were earlier works done by Maskilim who, there were some questionable concepts, part of the historical school, if I may quote from the Monday Shia, crept into it. Not alone. A fabulous job. I understand the Hebrew much better than the English, because the English, when you translate Shas and Paiskim with Latin and Greek, Yitzchak has the Mishpat of Ri in English. I have it in Hebrew. Now he says something. He discusses Minhag, Chelik Sheni, pages 713 to page 767. On page 737, footnote number 48, he makes a very interesting comment, and he's not the first one to make this comment. And this comment opens a world to you that can preoccupy you and take away all your vision and courage and strength. There's nothing else you'll be involved with except the outflow of this comment. And that's why I ask Yecheskel if he's willing to listen to it or he's frightened. It makes a simple comment. Could very well be that when the Yerushalmi was edited, the editor simply mistakenly copied what was said in relation to hiring people, and you're dealing with minhag, and you use the word minhag, b'vat al halacha, he mistakenly put those words into your vomit as well. The proof that the Bavli did not say minhag, b'vat al halacha. יש גם מקום להשערה שבמקורה נאמר מנהג מבטל הלכה לעניין המשנה בסוכת הפולים כי שם מובנה הוא כפשוטה ולא באה לעניין חליפסה בסנדל אלא בדרך הברה על ידי אורך הסוגיה תופעה השכיחה בסוגיה HaTalmudit. And what Professor Alon is saying in simple English, that when the Yerushalmi was edited, the editor copied the concept and simply lefum richita, to use a rabbinic expression, and didn't see clearly, don't copy minhag mevatel halacha, because that does not apply to Issa v'chet. And if Professor Alon is correct, then we don't have to give any lengthy shiur. Minhag mevatel halacha is the name of Monet. Zil Krei Ravbu, it's axiomatic. It does not apply to Issa v'chetah. That's what Professor Alon says. Now, What's your problem, Ephraim? You look troubled.
Where does the rest of the shir go in the other sources?
One second. No, to say that's another approach. But no, you see, gentlemen, what have I opened up here? What's going on in the world today? What's going on in Israel? What's going on in education in Israel? What's going on in the Tzioni Dati world? What's going on, Chayrim, against this point of view, that point of view? They're all wearing kippot strugot. They're fighting each other like a gudistim. No? My dear students, I have opened the heart of one of the most fascinating issues that we have. Let me tell you a little true story. Due to my age, my mother is gone. I now recognize my age. A lot of my friends are falling. Just last night, I saw someone I knew for decades. I saw the onset of Alzheimer. Terrible. Terrible. Frightening. And no one knew how to handle it. It's not simple. I did write, but people didn't understand. Sad. All right, leave it be. So let me tell you a story that I'm an ear eyewitness to. We have survivors in the room, children of survivors, grandchildren of survivors. One of the survivors to reach Yeshiva University after 45 was Rabbi Dr. Meir Simcha Feldblum. Rav Meir Simcha was, a Litvisher, a Telza. He hid in the forest. People told me they followed him. They said, follow Meir Simcha. He is so smart, he'll know how to survive. And he used to watch the stars. He knew where to be. Survived. He reached Yeshiva. Tremendous knowledge. Became a Rosh Yeshiva. When I entered YU, I went into the second level of Shayurim. I read Washington. I passed the test, thank God. But the first level was taught by Rav Moshe David Tendler and Rav Meir Simcha Feldblum. And you're in YU, there's a little Bernard Revel graduate school, the Rav loved Meir Simcha, and he started going to Bernard Revel graduate school, and he started studying with Professor Avraham Weiss. And the Rav said, I'll say it as the Rav said it, Chav Meira, Professor Weiss, hat von mir zugenommen mein Meir Simcha. I'll translate it. I'm afraid that Professor Weiss has robbed my Meir Simcha from me. And Rav Meir Simcha became the foremost expert in the greater YU circles on scientific Talmudic study, succeeding Professor Weiss at Bernard Revel Graduate School. Later, after a terrible personal tragedy where his wife was killed by Puerto Ricans drag racing outside the yeshiva on Amsterdam Avenue, which had terrible impact on the children. God have mercy, I know them all, my students. He came in Aliyah, taught at Bar Ilan until the day he died. Gentlemen, what are we talking about here? What are we talking about? It's very simple. You go to school, you start reading, you're in third grade, fourth grade, you're reading a child's version of Shakespeare. So you know right away, William Shakespeare authored this play, essay, call it what you wish. What were his years? You know his years. Where did he live? You know where he lived. Go to England, you can see the Shakespeare Theatre. No? Fifth grade, I began learning Gemara. Eilem etziyot shlo. You open up a Gemara. Who wrote the Gemara? Who put it together? What year was it put together? How can it be? You have Tanayim, Amarayim, all generations. First generation, second generation, third generation, fourth generation. Who wrote it? When was it written? Rabbeinu Ravashi knew at the very end. It's not the Amorayim. It was written at the end of the Amorayic period. So you see, when we open a Gemara, we don't look beyond the text in front of us. We start learning. Now we continue learning. And if we're good Jews, then we listen to our kefet. Now you realize I'm in a minority opinion today. It's much easier to be a chassid. Or a simple chassid, because good chassidim learn. Learn Gemara the rest of your life. Again, read, study Washington. Day doesn't go by that I don't learn Gemara. Nothing to do with teaching, nothing to do with creating lectures. Astam Ayid has to be learning. But if you start to question, you're getting involved in one of the most fascinating scientific topics you can ever touch upon. How did the Gemara come to be? What are the different levels in the Gemara? You know how they call it in modern Hebrew, Revidim. Am I pronouncing it right? Revadim. Thank you. Revadim. It didn't sound right the first time. Revadim. You don't know what it is. You're aware of the debate going on today. How to teach Gemara. And I want to tell you, you have no idea how many people have written doctorates on this topic. Does the name Professor Yechiel Kaplan mean anything to you? Let's go back into Yeshiva University. We're 1925. We're going into Professor Kaplan's class in Teachers Institute. He did a doctorate at Columbia University, the redaction of the Babylonian Talmud. You know how many, we spoke about the historical school last time we met on Monday. How many members of the historical school dealt with this problem? Professor Zachariah Frankel. No, you don't have to go any further than that. No? You've heard of Rav Heschel Schachter? Rosh Yeshiva in YU. Man caught in the quicksand of contemporary issues. Giant of Torah. Posek for the OU. Who was his father? Rabbi Dr. Melech Schachter. Can anyone tell me what Rabbi Schachter Sr. wrote his doctorate on? The redaction of the Talmud. You've heard of Professor Louis Ginsberg, the great Louis out of Tells? Gaon Shebagoyim. Reb Moshe Soloveitchik corresponds with him. Reb Yitzchak Kuttner corresponds with him. And you should see the titles. And he's teaching at the seminary, JTS. What was his work? Gainikot, Yerushalmi, Talmud, Starik, Development. Go on and on. Professor Avraham Weiss, endless volumes. He knew Shas by heart. You got to know what you're dealing with. I knew him. I mean, I'm not telling you stories. He knew Shas by heart. He I always use the word, when you look at his lines, he repasted up the whole Gemara. A chronological order, basically. Who is his brother-in-law? Professor Hanach Albeck, Bar-Ilan University. By the way, Albeck was such a big Talmud Chacham and Yerei Shemayim that even in the yeshiva world here, they used to go to him. They had tremendous derech eretz from him. He's quoted in Otzer HaPoskim, he's quoted in Noam, and they had tremendous derech eretz from him. Professor Albeck. Oh, wow. And with it all, we still don't have a definitive answer. We have theories. It's a fascinating topic. But you see, then the question begins, how do you teach children? And here I have to tell you, I am very conservative with a small c. I don't believe you can take, I believe a young man has to start Talmud, and I better be careful what I say, because in today's world, a young man, a young lady, I'm going to get to that. You have no idea what I have to show you. Wow, I was zeichet to chidushim niflam, I uncovered certain things this past week. I had a big smile on my face, despite the fact that the drone hovered over us 3 hours, and who knows what the truth is, what it photographed. Begin to teach a young person, man, woman, Talmud, let's say 9 years old, 10 years old. How do you teach him? In my humble opinion, you open up the sea and you swim.
You can't start playing games with a kid who doesn't know how to master rabbinic literature, doesn't know the sprach, the language. It's Aramaic. We have to learn. Read the Rav, the world of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. You know why those two books were so successful? Because the author doesn't say one word of his own. Every syllable was quoted from the Rav, and anyone who challenged, they found the quote. Hey, Rav Kefir is telling the truth. Shechiyanu, they finally found an author who tells the truth. Daf Machane Shechiyanu. Read what the Rav has to say. I quoted in Washington. I quote from the Rav in Washington. Got to learn a new language. You have to go into it. When you're a London Muvhak and you know Shas and Paiskim, and you're attracted to a scientific approach, all right. Beautiful. Go for it. But I don't believe you can drive a kid crazy in high school age and start in with him with Professor Avraham Weiss's theories. That's my humble opinion. I'm not opposed. I'm broad-minded. Baruch Hashem. I'm not going to tell you. Chachmat Yisrael has a lot of value. I'll tell you another story. You want me to prove it to you? I'll tell you another story. You know, Moshele? We were sitting in front of the Rav. It must be about 57, 58. And Professor Ephraim Elimelech Orbach's magnum opus appeared. Can you give me the name? Balei Tosfot. I have someone who knows. Baruch Hashem. Someone comes into the room. Rabbi Soloveitchik, a package was just delivered for you. The Rav opens it up. Oh. Inscribed to me, new Professor Orbach from Germany. Okay? You could see the Rav held it with Yirat HaKavod. The Rav walked out. He was all for tumult, finished shiur 2 hours later, 2.5, we're bothering, we're asking questions. So he left the volumes on the desk. So I picked them up, I went across the street to his mother. And I said, when the Rav Ayazun Vetzrikomen et das Scholastik bring das Seicha. When your son, the Rav, will come, he left this in class, I'm bringing it to you. We go back into the base medrash. 2 minutes later, the Rav shows up. Did anyone see those volumes? I said, Rebbe, called the Mekra, Nia Ner. I was a wise aleck, right? Quoted from a tiny. We brought it already to your house. To your mother across the street where you stay. Oh, I could see he had Derech Eretz. He had Derech Eretz. So Chas v'Chalila, I'm not telling you that Chochmat Yisrael and an approach like that to Talmud is not right. It can be right. It can be correct. It's all part of Torah Shebaal Peh. When you do it with Yirat Shemayim, you have a kiyum of Talmud Torah. But this Ravadim and this whole layers I see in America, layers in Talmud, and they're all excited. Ribbono Shel Olam, he's a kid of 14, 15. What are you teaching him? You're going to teach him real physics? Give him a chance to learn the basics. Later in life, if he's interested, he's going to graduate school. And he wants to study Talmud, and he wants to figure out how we're put together, and he wants to figure out whether Professor Alone's footnote is correct or not correct. Beautiful. Adarabba be adarabba. But everything in its time and in its place. Okay. Let me reiterate. Basic shiur today. It's no question that in Dinei Issa V'Hetta you cannot knock out the halacha. But where the halacha is rofefet, you follow what the people do. That's the Yerushalmi, that's the Rambam in Hilchat Trumot who says it so clearly, so beautifully. It's the Rush, it's the Rashba, and I mean it's fascinating how the Rashba says his Rebbeim did not give him an answer. From that too you learn something. Not every question can be answered. How did Reb Chaim put it? From Akasha Shtapnish. You don't die from a question.
But I have to tell you, what is important as a mechanech is not to put a youngster down for asking a question. If you don't have an answer, he has to understand why you don't have an answer. That has to be explained to him. So machlekes, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe Feinstein, who am I to decide between these two giants? But you see, imagine the Rebbeim of the Rashba. Who are we talking about? The Rashba? Asking his Rebbeim. And his Rebbeim did not answer him. But from that, from their silence, he gathered they were saying, Imlo Neviim Heim, B'nei Neviim Heim. Perhaps the most fascinating part of the shir was Professor Alon's footnote. And Herb, it's only a footnote. Don't think we're not certain this is correct. But it's a very interesting theory that whoever edited the Yerushalmi simply copied over these words. And if we had Professor Avram Weiss in the room, we would ask him, Professor Weiss, are there more examples like this? And he probably would give us 10 more examples on the spot. As far as Professor Weiss goes, I want you to know that all his children live al Admot HaKodesh. One son is a professor at Hebrew U in mathematics. One son was a professor of Talmud at Bar Ilan. And his daughter lives right here in the heart of Yerushalayim. So he must have been doing something right. He was on the Judenrat in Warsaw. His life, he and his wife, the children, their lives were saved by a miracle. They just got out in time. They were related. Professor Weiss's wife was related to one of the most prominent rabbis in the Bronx, Rabbi Simon Kramer. And Rabbi Simon Kramer of University Heights Jewish Center, I believe it was called, turned over heaven and earth with politicians to get them a non-quota visa immigrant status. And they got out literally minutes before Hitler ran over everything. God have mercy. Gentlemen, I wouldn't miss tomorrow's class for all the rice in China. We are picking up on Isaac Lisa, and I'm introducing you to another book that has eaten my heart out, and you will hear the Rebbe thundering and maledicting and hoping to have influence on a certain Satma Chassid. A lot of freebies. First of all, this is beautiful. I have three. You can make more copies. This, if you know, you live in Israel, the same thing goes on in America, I understand. People knock on your door asking for charity. This is written in three different languages, Hebrew, Yiddish, and English. Dear charity collector, avoid transgression. According to the decision of leading Rabban and Rosh Yeshiva, due to the use of internet at this location, it is forbidden to enter this house. So that's number one. Number two, here are two copies of the New York Times article on the infusions on Yom Kippur. Number three, as usual, people are showering me beautiful an infusion, just what it is. They make a hole in your hand and put in water, put in food, whatever you need. They're in liquid like they do in a hospital. Here are calendars, beautiful calendars, if anyone wants a calendar in their dorm room. Finally, most valuable, if anyone is a fan of Rav Avram Yitzchak or Cohen Cook, these are beautiful quotes from Rav Cook. He was a master of Hebrew. This is a valuable journal, 1985, Morasha, and this is Truk Lin, I Was Born Before My Time. This is new editions of the Talmud, of the Chumash, of Sfarim. Wow, are you guys lucky. Do me another favor. Will anyone see, here, one second, yeah. Will I say Yoni Miller? Anyone see Yoni Miller?
No.
Who will see Yoni Miller? Who are here?
tell him this arrived in the mail for him. I just want to save it from getting lost in the office. Gentlemen, until we meet again in health and happiness, thus for Danya.
I didn't get them here, but can I give you what I'm getting? Oh, Sam doesn't have a car now. His car was not going to...